I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Heading into the second half of our Friday evening program, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Good first half of the show today. Lots of good stuff. Gary Anderson, head football coach at Utah State. Nice interview on college football with him. Aztecs face Utah State tomorrow night. And to that end, Kirk Kenny will be joining us in about 15 minutes to give us a little Aztec football preview. Also, Joe Sheehan, very interesting discussion between he and Tony especially, but Joe trying to make his case for why the Tampa Bay Rays did not err in taking Blake Snell out of game number 6 of the World Series on Tuesday night. Biggest story of the week.
He was bullish on that too, by the way.
Yes, he did not. He was like, not only do I believe it, I strongly believe they made the right decision.
Yeah.
But I want to say this for anybody, even if I disagree with them in an argument, if they're going to back up their stuff with as much stuff as Joe Sheehan backed it up with, I'm going to respect their position. That's for sure.
Because it's not just being made up. Like he actually has things that he believes back up his point. You know, so you do have to respect it. I believe the same thing.
Definitely. We have our countdown coming up at the bottom of the hour, and that is going to focus on the top 5 free agent / available players that we would like to see the Padres go after this offseason. And with that in mind, we kick off hour number 3 of the program. Not a ton of wild, crazy breaking news on this Friday. We already discussed Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback who was tested positive for the coronavirus. That news came down really late yesterday after our show was over. Of course, I called him Teddy Lawrence. So, I don't know. I think my wife has a friend named Teddy Lawrence somewhere along the line. I don't know.
That might be it.
It might be it. If it is, I want to say hi to him out there if he's listening to the show. Got to mention by accident. But, it's been kind of a quiet news day in the sports world. Not to say that nothing's going on, but it's a little bit of a quiet day. So we're just kicking a bunch of stuff around. Of course, you got week number 8 of the National Football League. And, just real quick on that, Tony, I'm noticing that, and we talked about Trevor Lawrence's situation at Clemson, but in the NFL, I'm noticing this week, in the last couple of days, I saw a Charger player that tested positive for the virus. I believe I saw a couple of New York Giant players, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was a Denver Bronco, maybe a Minnesota Viking. Anyway, 3 or 4 different guys who tested positive this week for the coronavirus. And that seemed to be a much bigger deal a month or month and a half ago, early in the NFL season. Now it's kind of like, well, he tested positive, so he won't be able to play this week, but the game's going on, no problem.
Right.
Have you noticed that, or am I just looking at it differently?
No, I think it's hard not to notice it.
Yeah.
Hard not to notice it. I think, obviously, it almost seems like it's, it's very NFL-like, right? Somebody gets it, you just, if we could play the game, we're playing the game, we'll keep it moving. Hopefully it doesn't spread, and if it doesn't, the show must go on. And that's
show
kind
goes
of
on.
What,
yeah.
Kind of what we've seen from college, too.
Yeah. At the beginning of the season, when a couple of guys tested positive for the coronavirus, the game got moved back a couple of days, and In one case, I don't know if it was at the Patriot game against Denver, I think. I moved back an entire week, and they changed the schedule around. Now, all of a sudden, the guy tests positive. Everybody goes, well, he can't play, but game's going
everybody
on.
Else can.
Right. Yeah, everybody right. else can. So I've just kind of noticed that change in the trajectory of things in the National Football League. But as far as we know, all the games are indeed scheduled, and we're going to have Baltimore-Pittsburgh for you right here on 97.3 The Fan Sunday morning. So game of the week, and you'll be right here to catch that one, along with a couple of lousy games, Sunday Night Football, Dallas and Philadelphia, and Tampa Bay and the Giants on Monday night. That's not our fault. We carry the Sunday night and Monday night package, and those are the games that the NFL scheduled. And why they don't flex them is beyond me. I totally can get the not wanting to flex on until Thursday. Late in the season during a normal season. Yeah. Because you got fans and people make plans to go to games at certain times and travel, et cetera. So that all makes sense to me. But this year there's no fans. So
right.
move the games.
You should be able to flex easier.
Yeah, get a better game Sunday night, for heaven's sakes. But anyway, maybe the NFL thinks that the Dallas-Philadelphia game is a great game. I mean, you know, Dallas
they can't
is,
possibly think they can't.
No, they can't think that. But Dallas is always good for the ratings, even though they're
even now. I feel like
I think they
I feel
are.
Like for the first time. I think for the I feel like for the first time, Dallas fans are turning their back on Dallas right now.
They might be.
Like
they
I've seen, and I don't bring them up often, but I've seen Skip Bayless, who is a huge Dallas Cowboy. He has been dogging him, and it takes a lot to get him to say something bad about Dallas, and. He seems like he's throwing up the white flag as well. So I'm not too sure that the NFL is erring on the side of right on this with thinking the Cowboy fans are interested. I don't think the Cowboy fans are interested at all.
By the way, the one Big Five headline that we didn't get to, Adam Klug put the Big Five together.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this.
I like this. I don't like it. I like the story. It's interesting. The Ontario Hockey League has come out, and we don't talk hockey very often, but the Ontario Hockey League has come out with a new rule to help ensure the safety of its players during the coronavirus pandemic. No body checking. I don't know that. First of all, you can't avoid running into guys. I'm proof positive of that because when I used to play in my little pickup games, there was no checking either, but ran into guys all the time. But is that really – God, I don't know what to say. Again, I'm talking about stuff I don't know enough about, but is that going to make everything safe? I mean, the NHL played that whole thing in a bubble, and there was plenty of body checking, and nobody got sick. NFL players are knocking and running in heads into each other every Sunday and during practice throughout every week. And a handful of guys obviously are getting tested and coming up positive, but I don't know. Is that the solution? I mean, asking guys to play a game that's not really even the game.
I think when you don't have the funds that the NHL has, you got to come up, you got to be creative in how you go about it. I think, this is one of those ways. Listen, is it foolproof? Absolutely not. But that being said, for a team that may not have the financial pockets that the NHL does, where you can afford testing and all those type of things, you're going to want to prevent as much touching as possible. And it just seems as though that might be their route instead of, you know, allowing it. It seems like that would be the easier step for them.
Let's go out to a quick phone call here before we get to our break, and then Kirk Kenny's going to join us to talk some Aztec football. Anthony, welcome to the program. Thanks for
What's
joining
up, Anthony?
Us on Gwynn and Chris. How are you?
Hey, guys. Hey, I had a quick question. Well, kind of, but in regards to NFL players and everything, and, you know, a couple of them getting COVID, aren't they getting tested before? It's pretty much every single day.
All the
so,
way up.
No matter what, one of the guys gets sick, you know, they're out. But the other guys are getting tested too.
Correct. I think it's all the way up to Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. They don't actually test Sunday, but I believe all the other days they do.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, why cancel the game? Is you know, one of the guys gets sick. It's kind of like. Let's power through it, guys. And I, you know, it's kind of a touchy subject and everything, but, you know, we got to get through the season, yeah. You know.
Well, I'm just bringing it up, Anthony. I mean, bringing it up because it just seems like they're handling it differently than how they did earlier in the year. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
Early in the year, one person tested positive, and the whole league went on hold for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So now it's totally different.
And so now that everybody's seeing that the testing is, you know, everybody's going through, multiple people within one team aren't getting sick. And I think that's kind of where they're going to probably draw the line is how many players during that testing day and stuff test positive.
Yeah.
And so
that's a good point.
I think you're spot on, Anthony, on that one.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good weekend, Anthony. No, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
I think
that.
Anthony brings up a good point. Because it was earlier on, it was more multiple guys. I think at one point it was Newton, and the day later it was somebody else, and the day later it was somebody else. And then they got to the point where they had to kind of push that game back.
Right.
Have we heard it? What happened with the Raiders, guys? Because didn't their whole offensive line get it last week?
I thought they did. Did they play or not?
Four of the five linemen, I think, played. Yeah, I think one missed the game, but four of the five, because they were in close contact, were kind of quarantined, but they passed. They had the negative test, so they were good to go. So I think that's what it boils down to, Chris. If there's multiple guys and there's a chance that it spreads through the team, that seems to be the time where they push games back. If they don't feel like that, the show must go on.
Yeah, well, I agree. I'm selfish, and I want my fantasy football league game to go on over the weekend, and I want the Dolphins to play, and I want to have something to watch this weekend. So, you know, I'm funny. I'm on the air every day criticizing these leagues for pushing forward and and not worrying about the health and safety of all these athletes. But at the same time, that's exactly how I feel right now. Yeah. Go ahead and just play. I'm not going to worry about it. Isn't that terrible?
You are not the only. There are a lot of folks in the same boat as you.
So. Yeah. I mean, I can say one thing, but I feel something different sometimes.
Do as I say, not as I do.
That's right. That's exactly it. All right. We're going to get to the baseball free agency stuff shortly because, as I mentioned, it's the subject of our countdown today. And Keith Law's list of the top available free agents. We'll talk about some of those in about 15 minutes. But first, Kirk Kenny will join us. We'll get a little preview of the Aztec football game. Kirk actually texted me a little while ago, Tony. I don't know if you caught the same text, but I don't think he's quite to the point of saying that this game is in some danger tomorrow. But there is a lot of positive tests in the state of Utah right now. Yeah. And it's certainly a factor in terms of this game tomorrow. Remember that they were going to allow some fans into the stands for the game tomorrow night. And a lot of, I know, Aztec fans and family members were headed up to Logan, Utah, so they could see their kids play. And I don't know that that's in question. We'll get the latest from Kirk Kenny in just a couple of seconds. So that's coming up next. Stick around. I'm Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris. Rolling along in this Friday evening. Thanks for being with us. Part of the program here on San Diego's number one sports station. We are 97.3 The Fan. Here's traffic, Kelly Danik.
5:18 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Here with you 2-7. Taking you into the weekend, talking some Aztec football as they prepare to take on Utah State. And joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, San Diego Union Tribune's own Kirk Kenny. Kirk, long time no talk to you, man. How you doing?
Hey, gentlemen, how's it going?
We're good.
It's going well. It's going well. looking forward to this this battle between the Aztecs and Utah State, and it sounds like there's some rough weather, and I mean that in terms of COVID-19. There's some positive tests within Utah, a lot of them. Is this game in jeopardy by any chance?
You know, I don't think it is, but what's crazy is, so about 1 o'clock our time in the state of Utah, they sent out one of those emergency alerts to everybody's phone, which I don't know about you guys, but I think I get those when we have to evacuate for a fire or, you know, an amber alert to see it. So it's usually a pretty big deal. And so when you see something like that, you're wondering, okay, you know, is the game in jeopardy? But right. The Aztecs hopped on a plane and they are there now. So, you know, as far as they're concerned and to their knowledge, it's all speeds ahead. So, you know, I haven't figured out yet exactly what made, what compelled the Utah officials to get that word out. They did say that their Friday was a record-breaking day of new cases for the coronavirus in the state, and they've had more and more concerns. One thing in that message is it said social gatherings are limited to 10 or fewer. And I see that, and I'm like, okay, so how are you going to put 5,000 people in your stadium? Are they considering that they're social distanced enough in groups of 9 or so, or what? So that's what kind of puzzles me, and I haven't heard more details on some of that yet.
Yeah, because the way things stood, this was going to be a chance for some San Diego fans, family, et cetera, if they had the ability and time and wherewithal to get up there to Logan, Utah, to see their kids play. And I know that a lot of family members, et cetera, were kind of looking forward to that, Kirk. So that would really – that would be a downer if that happened. But I guess everything is so fluid with this coronavirus pandemic that you just kind of keep going forward and hope that nobody stops you.
Right. And and that's one thing. My first thought was to fans like that who are in the process of probably traveling today or about to, you know, tomorrow morning. And does this throw a monkey wrench into all that? And, you know, you need to get that information before you start traveling. Some people are driving there and it's several hours. But it's like you guys said, it's crazy. It's we seem to turn on a dime at every other moment. You know, things are going crazy down in New Mexico where they had to switch that game to San Jose. And then the latest I've seen there is once the football team returns to New Mexico, they have to quarantine for 14 days. And I have not heard yet. And they play next week at Hawaii. So does that mean New Mexico will go from San Jose to Hawaii rather than returning home because then they can't leave? You know, all these questions just kind of pop up and there's no clear-cut answers immediately.
Kurt, what was the focus for this week with Brady Hoke and his staff? Because – obviously, you know, you've worked all this week to get up there. You mentioned the message that went out. Does that change anything in terms of their preparation? Did they headed out, they got on a plane, everything is as is?
I think, like Chris was saying, you just proceed as if, you know, nothing has changed until you're told otherwise. And plus, by the time they were ready to hop on the planes, unless they were just told, no, you can't get on the planes. I know last spring when all this started going down, the USD baseball team was in the buses turning the corner into San Diego International Airport to go for a conference series up in Northern California. And they turned the buses around as they were coming into the parking lot. So you just never know how this stuff's going to work. But obviously the Aztecs hopped on those planes and they're in Logan. So, you know, at this point, I think their plans were pretty well made for the week and they're ready to go.
Kirk Kenny is with us from the San Diego Union Tribune, Aztecs, Utah State, tomorrow evening, 6:30 kickoff. It's an early start for us fans in San Diego, starting at 6:30 rather than the usual 7:30 slot. But I guess we catch a break on the TV schedule tomorrow. Kirk, all right, let's just talk a little bit about this game. I mean, hopefully they're going to play it and everything will go as according to plan. Mm-hmm. Utah State beat the Aztecs last year. Of course, they had Jordan Love at quarterback, although – if I recall, Jordan Love didn't exactly have a monster game. I think it was a pick six that really hurt the Aztecs in that game, if I remember right. Aztecs, you kind of wrote this week, and I kind of agree with you, UNLV really wasn't enough of a challenge to really find out a whole lot about the San Diego State team. Will we find out more this time around?
I would think we will. I mean, the Aztecs, obviously – They rushed the ball 31 times in the first half against UNLV, built a big lead. So there was nothing that they had to go out and prove or show. So I would think we'll see a few more wrinkles tomorrow against Utah State. Especially I want to watch the tight ends for the Aztecs as well as a few of the wide receivers to see if they throw to them more. They targeted 11 different guys last week, and there were, I think, 12 receptions. So obviously they were really spreading it around. It'll be interesting to see if they'll get it to some more key playmakers this time. Or, you know, the running game has been so good in the past and last week, you know, if they get out and start really running the ball again, you know, maybe they'll keep that stuff under their hat until they really need to expose it.
Let's talk about that running game. Last year seemed like compared to the years before, they kind of took a step back running the football, but it seems like they've kind of, at least in game number one, they kind of got back to old faithful running the ball. Is is, and I know we talked about them spreading the ball out, throwing the ball a little bit, but is this still going to be how this team is made up, is off the run?
I think they're going to be a lot more balanced. They've taken the fullback basically out of the formation, so that tells you that they're going to be throwing the ball more. The last 2 years they were hurt because their main running back, Juwan Washington, got hurt both years, so I think that hurt the running game some. There's a lot of talent there, and then we saw Greg Bell emerge last week, the local kid who just returned back. And, you know, if he can run and be as effective as he was, I can see them continuing to run the ball until somebody makes you do differently. But I do expect them to be a lot more balanced and seeing more passes.
Kirk, a little earlier in the week you wrote about the fact that, you know, with the bowl situation and the fact that so many of the games are getting canceled, and it's possible that the Aztecs could even go undefeated, win the conference championship, and not have a place to go play a bowl game. Obviously, that would be a big disappointment, but does that change anything about the way they're preparing and going about this season, or Brady Hoke's got the old hashtag win 22?
Their focus is always to win the conference championship. They got some good news today. The bowl schedule was unveiled, and there still are four games on there that have Mountain West tie-ins. What it looks like is that the two teams that go to the Mountain West championship, the winner will go to the LA Bowl, the runner-up will go to the Arizona Bowl, and then the two other spots still open are the New Mexico Bowl and the Idaho Potato Bowl in Boise. The one thing is they did not put a venue yet for the New Mexico Bowl, so I think they're going to move that out of state because of all their COVID issues there. So there's four landing spots, so that makes things bode a lot better than they might have been when we were kind of looking at it earlier in the week. I was still hearing that there were some, you know, especially like the LA Bowl, I heard that there was a good chance that might go dark this year and wait until next year. But at this point, you know, they still have, I think, 37 bowls that are going to play. If all those get played, I will just be flabbergasted. But, you know, like we've said for some of the other things, they're going to plan for the best. And
real quick, I thought they canceled some bowl games. If they canceled some bowl games, how many did they have before 37? Oh, my goodness.
I think they had one for every team.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. they've canceled six, so they're left with 37, counting the national championship game. The crazy thing is the NCAA got rid of this year of the minimum number of wins that you need to have to qualify for a bowl game. So basically everybody's eligible. So what you have to watch out for is there won't be any, you know, open spots because nobody qualified where you were in the past able to get one of your teams to slide over. So since 2013, the Mountain West has had between 5 and 8 teams a year getting a bowl game. This year, I think the max they're going to get is 4.
Yeah. It's a strange, strange time, Kirk. We certainly appreciate you coming on, setting up this Utah State and San Diego State football game for this weekend. We'll catch up with you a little bit later. Thanks for coming on, Kirk.
Thanks, Kirk.
Thanks, guys.
Good
All right.
To you. Have a good weekend.
Kirk
Stay
Kenny,
safe.
San Diego right. Union Tribune on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU Online and Mobile Banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. It's the first time the Aztecs will head to Logan since 2016. What kind of place is this up there to play? Is it a tough place to play?
I think it is. I mean, Gary Anderson said that the weather will be in the 40s, so he's their coach, and we had him on earlier. But that's a pretty good night. When I was there, and I think it was 2016, doing the game on the sidelines, Tony, it was one of those snowy, rainy nights and just freezing cold. And, you know, fans are close by. You got altitude. You usually have weather you have to deal with, but their coach today said that be kind of some balmy conditions for this time of year. So that will certainly help the Aztecs, and obviously they'll limit the number of fans, won't make it as intimidating a place. It's a fun place to play. It's a nice on-campus stadium, though. It's really, really, really pretty.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we'll see if the Aztecs can continue to play some good football this weekend. Let's get to break. When we come back, our countdown will follow. We're going to talk about the freeze that Keith Law put out and who we think, our top five, that we think could help the Padres get to that next level. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I don't know where they got that promo from. Touchdown Cowboys. They must have dug that up from like 3 years ago.
3 years ago?
Yeah. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. That's right. Storied NFC East rivalry. I would say the storied NFC East rivalry, if there was one, was Cowboys-Redskins or Cowboys-Washington FT. The other one would be Giants-Eagles.
Yes,
but
I agree.
This will have to do for this Sunday night. Don't forget, we do have a good game on Sunday morning. Baltimore-Pittsburgh game will be right here on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. And baseball up for grabs in this particular segment, Tony. Free agency, there are some unbelievable – you can put together a pretty good team from scratch if you just were willing to sign every single free agent that's available. There's a lot of really good names out there, and I know Keith Law put together his list of the top 40. We're going to do our countdown here in a little bit. Before that, though, is Derek on the line? Derek, I wanted to get to his phone call. He's been waiting a little bit. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris, Derek. Thanks for calling in. What's
up, Derek?
On your mind, man?
Hey, I appreciate you. Junior, Chris Ello. You know what?
Yes.
As a former Aztec center fielder myself.
That a boy.
Junior, I could literally see you in my mind biting your lip when Joe was on the phone. I've heard all the arguments since the World Series is over, and I am so tired of listening to these silly answers. Like, here's the deal. Snell was not only dealing, he was dominating.
Yes.
He was dominating. So all of these binders and the dugouts and all this nonsense, your guy is dealing. He's begging to let you stay, to let him stay in the game. Just throw the binder in the trash and let the guy deal. Dodgers probably win the World Series anyway in game 7, maybe, but this is an elimination game and your guy is dealing. It's not like he was giving up rockets for the first six innings and was getting lucky. He was dominating the Dodgers. It's so ridiculous.
Derek, first of all, you have great intuition because I was biting my tongue the entire time.
But yes, I was sitting back waiting for you to stop biting your tongue.
That is what drives me crazy, is that what I think baseball forgets is that people who watch the game don't care anything about these binders. They're watching it with their eyes, and it's not nearly as entertaining for them for to be watching a guy dealing the way Snell was, as you said, Derek, dominating. I counted three like competitive swings in that entire game before he came out. And
yes, sir.
It's boring to fans to watch how analytics plays out over a course of 162 games. And I think although baseball has found something that is good for the game in terms of how you use guys sometimes, it is boring for the fan to watch that way. And
yes.
I think
yep.
they're doing a disservice a lot to the fans. You got to do two things. You either got to start explaining this stuff in a way that's understandable to fans, that makes sense to them, or – you got to find a way to highlight some of the, I don't know, we like to use that word gut, you got to find a way to highlight some of these things that fans are attached to and that are actually, you know, fun to watch.
Yeah. You got to let ball players play. I mean,
Well, the one thing too, Derek, is the fact that Tony and I discussed this right after Joe Sheehan was on with us.
Thanks for the phone call, Derek, too, by the way.
Yeah, good call. We discussed this, honestly, right after we hung up with Joe, and that was the fact that both Tony and I and everybody else pointed out the fact that just how happy the Dodgers that Blake Snell got taken out of the game.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, if you heard the quotes from Mookie Betts and Bellinger and Dave Roberts and everybody else on down the line. So, and, you know, I mentioned to Tony, I said he can speak to this because he's been in a major league dugout before, which I have not, at least not during the course of a game. I've been in a dugout, just there was no game going on when I was in there.
Right.
But, you know, as you said, you can't put an analytical price on, you know, the feeling that the lift that the Dodgers got with Cash taking Snell out of that game. There's just no analytic to describe that.
And I'll tell our listeners what I told you when we were off air. I'm very careful about bringing that point up because a lot of times when you're dealing with people that see the game from an analytical standpoint, that offends them, you almost like, because you can't put an analytic calculation or number on that particular piece. So a lot of times they just poo-poo it, like, well, it's not really relevant then because I can't put a number on it. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. Feel the confidence for the Dodgers when they saw Kevin Cash take that first step out of the dugout. You know, their heart rate started going up a little bit. Then when he put his arm up to bring in the righty, their confidence literally went through the roof. And you could see it by the way they took swings in the next three at-bats in that inning. And I just think that because you can't quantify – and listen – here's the deal. Over the course of 162 games, that analytic stuff is so beneficial because it helps you get your team through a long season the most efficient way. But once you start getting into these games that are high leverage in the playoffs, that's the time where I think sometimes you got to get away from your analytics and go at what your eyeballs are telling you at that point.
There's no way that any analytic anywhere said that Julio Urías should pitch the final 10 outs of the National League Championship Series, and there's not an analytic anywhere that said Julio Urías should be your choice for the final 7 outs of the World Series. And therein lies the difference between Dave Roberts and Kevin Cash, because Dave Roberts said, and I'm quoting through you know, John Smoltz and Joe Buck, who, you know, talked to Dave Roberts about Julio Urías, and they said, this guy has no pulse. He has no pulse. He's the guy that you want out on the mound in the scariest situation. And that's what Dave Roberts used. I mean, Julio Urías had, I don't know, maybe one save during the regular season, if that. But he had the two most important saves of the season in the championship series and in the World Series. And Dave Roberts, you can't tell me that there was any analytics that directed him to make that move.
Right. No, so. And that's what I'm saying. Analytics are a piece of the pie. They are a very useful tool to help you navigate your squad in making decisions. But sometimes there's not a calculation for what you're seeing, and that is where I have an issue sometimes with analytics. And I'm very respectful of the analytic brains out there because it is a boon for the game of baseball in some regards, but they don't like hearing that, you know, you can't calculate heart, you can't calculate
too bad.
Pulse.
Because it's definitely part of the equation, Tony. All right, baseball free agency, George Springer, Trevor Bauer, Nelson Cruz, Marcus Semien, Justin Turner. I'm just naming a few guys that are free agents. JT Realmuto. I mean, some of the big names. Who should the Padres be interested in? We'll find out in a second after we check traffic and get to our countdown.
Gwen and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top five ways that we like potatoes.
Top five pizzas.
Top five ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Baseball free agency. Padres. Who should they get? Well, who can they get? Who makes reasonable sense for them to go after? Today, our countdown. Top five available players slash free agents that make some sense in our minds for the Padres to kick the tires on.
Number five.
Number five for me, Adam Eaton. I know the Padres used to have a guy named Adam Eaton. He's a fairly good right-handed pitcher. But we're not talking about that guy. We're talking about the outfielder for the Washington Nationals, formerly from the Washington Nationals. I think he's a guy that, you know, again, all my guys are going to be guys that I think you can get a bit of a fair price on, Tony. And all my guys are guys that are not going to change the complete complexion of this team because I'm not really about doing that. I like what the Padres have. And I think Adam Eaton's kind of a do-everything guy that can play all the three outfield positions. He can steal a base. He can provide you a little power from time to time. Good depth in that outfield. He can start for you. So I think he's a good all-around player, and he's also a world champ to boot. So that's Adam Eaton's my number five guy on my take a look at him list.
Let me give my caveat. I made my list as if the DH will be involved with the National League next year.
Ah, okay.
All right, so number five on my list, I think what we've seen in the playoffs is that you can never have enough bullpen depth. And there is a free agent out there that I like. His name is Blake Treinen. We saw him a lot with the Dodgers. Love to have that type of depth in the bullpen. He doesn't necessarily need to be the closer. He doesn't need to be a setup man. You can use him, as we saw in the playoffs, in many different roles, and he can have some effect. I think he would be a good piece to add, and I think you could get him for a reasonable price.
Not only that, Blake Treinen would, if you got him, Tony, he'd be an addition to your team and a subtraction from the team you're trying to beat.
Exactly.
So that'd be a double bonus if you could get a guy like Blake Treinen. He was inconsistent this year, though, I got to say. I mean, there was times he looked that, what do you call it, a bowling ball sinker that he has?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody could come near hitting it. And then there were times he'd leave it up in his zone and he'd get hit pretty good. But
I think that is
you're
the
right.
Life
I think he's
of
a very good pitcher.
The life of a reliever there.
That's true. All right, number four for me.
Number four.
Oh, sorry. Number four for me. I'm trying to read my notes here because I scribbled this out. Kirby Yates. You've heard of him. He's a free agent now. Again, same as you, Tony, bullpen. I just feel happy with something that I know. And maybe this is a bit of a personal selection because one of my all-time favorite guys when we've talked to these players over the last few years is Kirby Yates, and I'd love to see him stay in San Diego. And I'd be willing to bet on Kirby Yates getting healthy and Kirby Yates getting back to close to where he was, if not, you know, all the way back to being the best reliever in the big leagues, but at least close to that again. And you know, I do think I could get him at a little bit of, not a bargain, but a better price than Trevor Rosenthal. So I think that before we, let's not let Kirby just slide out of town without a look-see.
All right. Number four on my list is another reliever. He was actually a prized possession a few years ago at the trade deadline. That's Shane Green from the Braves this year.
Yes.
I think he would be another good piece to add. Again, it's about depth. And what we learned in the playoffs is relievers are fickle. One day they're good, the next day they're bad. When you have depth, you have a better chance of maneuvering that. And I think I think Shane Green, and that's what we saw from the Dodgers, because you mentioned it. There were times where you get a guy, much like I mentioned in Blake Treinen. Yeah. Who was good some nights, that good some nights. The Dodgers were able to weather that storm because they had enough depth where they could go to different guys the following night. And I think Shane Green would fit that mold of being a multi-use type of guy out of the bullpen.
He can close a game for you, too. No doubt.
Yeah. Number three.
And number three for me is Chris Archer. Now, he's not, I guess, officially a free agent, but the Pirates have moved on from him. So we talked about him the other day. I thought when he was healthy and when he was right, he was a top pitcher, one of the top pitchers in the American League when he was at Tampa Bay. Never healthy with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think a never healthy guy is always worth throwing a little bit of money at, especially when you figure out if he ends up being healthy, then he gives you, you know, number three starter stuff, maybe even. I mean, Chris Archer is almost an ace when he's right. So, I this is an overused word, but the upside on Chris Archer is tremendous. So I would take a look into him, and obviously he'd have to be healthy, and I'd have to be able to afford him. But I need some more depth in my starting rotation. That's the guy I'm willing to take a chance on.
How about at number three, a guy like Nelson Cruz?
Probably could
get him for a one-year deal. He's 40 years of age.
Nelson Cruz. My goodness, could we have enough room in our box score for all the runs that we would score if we got him?
I'm saying, like, this is a productive old man.
Yes.
And you know what? Even more importantly, his personality fits this roster very well. He is one of the most fun-loving cats you'll ever be around. He enjoys his job. And I think at a one-year deal, I think it could be feasible to bring a guy in like Nelson Cruz to specifically DH. I think he could do it.
Oh, I'm sure he could do it.
Number two.
Well, I like Nelson Cruz. That to me is being almost greedy to get somebody that
good. It's definitely
good.
Being greedy. There's no doubt it's being greedy.
Yeah, that's being a little greedy, but man, it'd be nice. All right, I'm going to go back to one of our old favorites here in town. Another guy that I had a chance to interview a couple times and always enjoyed, and we dealt him away to Cleveland, and now the Indians are done with him. So how about taking a look again at Brad Hand?
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're talking about bullpen depth, et cetera, and guy that can close a game for you from the left side, and a guy who can pitch the eighth inning, seventh inning, the fourth inning, whatever you need. Again, this is a countdown of the top five. I don't expect the Padres to be able to get all five, but my wish list, I think Brad Hand would come somewhat affordable. So that's why he makes my list at number two.
Man, great minds think alike. I had Brad Hand as my number two as well. Partly because of his familiarity with the organization. I do think you could get him at a good price. And I think he kind of knows what to expect out of this whole organization here in terms of what his role would be, how he would fit. I like bringing Brad Hand back. I didn't think we should have let him go in the first place.
Number one.
What do we get back for him?
You want to
know? It's amazing how quickly we forget these kinds of things. Francisco Mejia?
It was Mejia.
Yeah. Okay. I tell you one thing. I sure took a lot of bullets for Francisco Mejia over the last year and a half because I stuck up for him like he was one of the greatest hitters in the history of baseball.
You did.
And he didn't come through for me. All right, my number one free agent wish list for the Padre guy that I think they could afford that would be just a perfect little sneaky addition to this team, Howie Kendrick.
Ooh.
World Series winner, NLCS MVP, first base, second base, outfield, DH. Talk about depth. You talk about leadership. You talk about championship pedigree. I don't know how much he's got left in the tank. That's my only question. But if he's got anything left in the tank that's worth paying for, that's the perfect kind of addition that I'm looking for this Padre team.
This dude is a professional hitter. He's the definition of it, actually.
Yeah. My number one.
Number one for me, I'm going to go on the greedy train again. Starting pitcher, Marcus Stroman.
Ah, that's not too greedy. I mean, that's a guy that I don't think everybody's sold on him, are they? I mean, you know.
Maybe not. I certainly am.
You
look at it. and for me, I like him better than Bauer. only because of his track record. You look at Bauer's track record, had two standout seasons. The rest have been mediocre. Stroman's got a better resume. And I like and I like his attitude personally. I think that's the kind of his attitude would fit right on in here in San Diego for sure. So that's my top five. Marcus Stroman rounds mine out.
Doesn't he wear like number six or something like that?
He wears a single digit. That's the only knock I have on Marcus is he wears a single digit number as a pitcher.
So does Blake Snell, by the way. But
that
yeah,
too.
It's kind of weird when you see a single digit on a pitcher. All right, there's our wish list. AJ, we'll take 5 of the 10. See what you can do.
Indeed.
Yeah. Happy hour's coming up. Stick around. We got more Gwen and Chris headed your way on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.